All right, Bill Barty, we're back on the President's Weekend radio show today.
That's right. Hey, George Washington's birthday was February 22nd. He kind of kicked it all off, officially honoring the life and work of George Washington. Of course, a lot of us pay attention to Abraham Lincoln. Heck, we just united the whole thing together and made it President's Day weekend. And here on the Carolina Outdoors, it makes us want to pay a little bit of special attention to our presidents from this area, and of course, one of which is the best known down there in Pineville, North Carolina, his birthplace, before moving off to Tennessee. He was a Tar Heel as well, as well as being the 11th President of the United States, James K. Polk. In light of not having President Polk here to talk to, we've got Historic Site Manager Scott Warren from the James K. Polk State Historic Site joining us right now. Scott, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Good morning, Bill and Don. Hope you guys are well.
We are doing wonderful. Did we get that right on President Polk?
Yeah, right on the button.
Oh,
you got it.
See there?
Did you vote for him, Bill?
I sure did. I voted for him twice. Except he was only a one-term president, and he had accomplished a lot. In fact, many people call him the most accomplished one-term president in the history of all the presidents. But Scott, why was he only one term?
Well, Bill, he pretty much, when he was campaigning for office on his platform, he pretty much came out and said right off that he was just going to be a one-term guy. And I think, number one, that's truly what he wanted to do, but as well, his the gentleman he was running against, Henry Clay, came out early on in his campaign and stated that he was going to be a one-term, you know, candidate as well if he was elected president. So I think Polk kind of felt like that he had to, you know, not only probably match Henry Clay, but deep down, though, from everything that I've read, that Polk truly just wanted to be a one-term guy.
Well, he was that. He got his one term in there, and scholars rank him very favorably for his accomplishments. Can you tell us some of his primary accomplishments in that those 4 short years?
Sure, Bill. Really, he had some really, to your point, he had some really big goals and accomplished these goals while he was president. He wanted to reduce the tariffs to ease the burden a little bit on consumers here in the United States. He certainly was a huge believer in expanding the boundary of the United States from the Atlantic to the Pacific. He was certainly a true believer in sea to shining sea, so to speak. So that was you know, that was very important. He also wanted to take in the territory that was in the northwestern part of the United States. At that time, it was owned by Great Britain, and again, he saw that as an opportunity to really, you know, expand the United States. And lastly, he wanted to really reel in all the federal funds that were scattered about in the United States. At that time, there was no, say, central deposit for federal funds. It was really scattered out among state banks, and so he really wanted to reel that in under one umbrella. But certainly he did a lot in his 4 years, no doubt.
Now let's test you a little bit. What would Henry Clay have been like?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question. That's one of those, well, what ifs? Yeah, Don, that's a great question. I don't know. You know, Henry Clay ran several times for the presidency, never got close to it, although he gave President Polk a good run for his money. And what I think is interesting is Henry Clay carried North Carolina and Tennessee, the two states that are directly linked to Polk. So that, to me, is fascinating. But it was a fairly close election.
You know what? I find it ironic, and I didn't know this. You were mentioning the banking laws with James K. Polk and what he accomplished during those 4 years. Of course, I mentioned he went to the University of North Carolina mm-hmm. at Chapel Hill, graduating with honors. I'm sure he would want everyone to know, at least I would if I were him, in 1818. But in one address in part of the Dialectic Society he was a member of there in Chapel Hill, he warned that some American leaders, this was him as a young man pre-law school and all that, some American leaders were flirting with monarchical ideals, singling out Alexander Hamilton, a foe of Jefferson back then. Of course, Alexander Hamilton is enjoying a whole bunch of newly found fame in pop culture anyway, with the musicals and that sort of thing going out there. But and he was also a uniter of the Federal Bank that we enjoyed back then here in the U.S. But listen, enough of that. We need to celebrate what's happening with the James K. Polk Historic Site today. And another president may be involved that has a Carolina lineage, Andrew Jackson. Talk to us, Scott Warren, about what's going on today, Saturday, with that.
Well, we do this every year for President's Day. It's kind of a collaboration between ourselves, the President James K. Polk State Historic Site here in Pineville, and President Andrew Jackson State Park, which is down in Lancaster, South Carolina. It's a South Carolina state park. And we do this collaboration every President's Day. And actually, we take turns presenting various aspects of the lives of these gentlemen at our respective parks. This year, it will be down at Andrew Jackson State Park there in Lancaster, South Carolina. The program will kick off at 10 a.m. And we're really going to discuss the lives of these two gentlemen and how the Carolinas shaped each. And just for good measure, we're going to also sprinkle in the third president that is from North Carolina, and that is Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln. But really, the focus of the program is going to be about the lives of James K. Polk and Andrew Jackson.
Wow. Now, how those two were linked, not only in their North Carolina birth or their Carolina birth. We don't want to get into all that Andrew Jackson stuff, North or South. But anyway, born in the Waxhaws, if you will, Polk and Pineville, both of them, along with Johnson, ended up in Tennessee.
Correct.
How were Jackson and Polk linked? Of course, James K. Polk is often listed as a protege of Jackson, but what were their similarities and how did the Carolinas impact those similarities?
Yeah, that is a great question, Bill. I think, you know, that their shared background certainly what was that strongest link. You know, both Polk and Jackson were raised Scots Irish, you know, here in the Carolina backcountry. Both had that strong Presbyterian background, that lineage, so to speak. And I think they connected in that regard once they got out to Tennessee. Certainly, James K. Polk was an adamant admirer and supporter of, as he called him, General Jackson, and really believed in a lot of the same principles. For example, that the federal government should be very limited in the role that it plays with the with the states, and that states should decide their own course, really. And so that they had that strong bond, that strong connection, and really, I think, really that connection really sprang from both being from our area.
Do you get any feedback or blowback there as a historic site manager when president's histories are looked at? Of course, with President Trump in the office now, a lot of Jackson's old stuff are looked at, and in fact, they're compared a little bit. Does President Polk fall into any of those criticisms or celebrations of what they had going on compared to today's president?
Yeah, well, you know, so much has been made out of, Bill, the connection that certainly I think Trump has taken on with Andrew Jackson. But it's interesting from different historians that I have read that I think really that Polk is more connected to Jimmy Carter, President Carter, more so than, say, President Trump. And the two, Polk and Carter, they were very much so micromanagers. They believed in having their hand in all aspects, all operations of government. And really both were, and President Carter was this way too, both, you know, cared deeply about the office and felt like they needed to be personally involved in everything. And I think in a lot of ways, that might have been the undoing of both presidents. Polk with his health and him, you know, passing away just 3 months after leaving office, and you know, President Carter not being elected to a second term. So I think really President Carter and President Polk are more linked than, say, Polk and Trump.
Wow, Don Yeager, we're learning some stuff about President's Weekend and about James K. Polk. We're We're here on the Carolina Outdoors. The outdoor guys are getting the education with Scott Warren, historic site manager of the James K. Polk State Historic Site, Pineville, North Carolina. Scott, we're glad that you're joining us. We learned a little bit about the Andrew Jackson State Park party and program going on in Lancaster, South Carolina, in conjunction with the James K. Polk site. But tell us about other events that happened through the week at the Polk site, as well as what you have coming up in May.
Yeah, Bill, that's a great segue. We have our biggest fundraiser of the year coming up on Saturday, May the 4th, here at the Polk site. It's our annual barbecue, music, and dance festival here. And we've got some really, really strong music acts that are going to come and play and entertain folks here at the site. We've got, traditionally, we have every year the Myers Park High School Bluegrass Club. These are high school students who are really taking a shine to bluegrass music, and they are phenomenal. They are fantastic. We also have a group called the High Ridge Pickers. They're a family band, threesome. And sometimes they'll bring in some other musicians as well, and they are fantastic too, right here out of Charlotte. And then we are very fortunate and pleased to announce that we're having David Childress here. David Childress has played with the likes of the Avett Brothers. He has been Grammy nominated, and we're just tickled to death to have him here as part of our music lineup. We've also got Old Mecklenburg Brewing is going to be here on site. Ooey Barbecue right here in Pineville is going to be dishing out their delicious barbecue. And 100% of the proceeds that we raise that day stay here at the museum, and they go to help underwrite and fund a lot of our educational experiences. So our field trips, our lectures that we have throughout the year, those sorts of things. So it's going to be Saturday, May the 4th from 11 to 3, and it is $5 per car. So you can bring, no matter if you have one person or if you bring 10 people, it's $5.
All I know is you're getting big nods of the head from TJ Boggs over there when you were talking about the music acts are going to be out there, from the Myers Park group to David Childers and then some. And Don Yeager and I were nodding our heads heavily when you started talking about the barbecue and food out there. We'll meet in the middle with the dance part. So
there you go.
Hey, where do we go to buy tickets and find out more information on the James K. Polk site and any events that are happening out there?
Sure, it's great. It's just all one site. So if people want to visit www.jameskpolk.net, you can get all the details there on our website.
Scott Warren, thank you so much for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more after this.